Drive to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Good afternoon. I'm Jay Holland in for Phil Williams. I call him Mr. Chairman. He's always right. So I'm glad to be on the right side as well with Phil. And certainly we have a lot of things to talk about. Just kind of doing a little early show prep here. CNN's got a flag up there on the TV screen. Biden marks 1 year since signing gun safety law. And then Fox News is running LA Dodgers honoring trans nuns group tonight. So I don't know if that tweaks any interests, but we are taking your phone calls at 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Here on Right Side Radio, give us a call and let us know what you think about some of these unbelievable. I mean, I can't tell you how annoyed I am at some of these headlines around here sometimes. It defies imagination. I'm not that old, but I do remember when LA Dodgers honoring trans nuns group tonight was like taboo. I mean, it was unthinkable. Nobody would ever believe it, even if somebody said it. So I don't know. I'd like to get your take on it. It's just a sign of the times, I guess. I'm really at a loss to explain it other than the obvious decline of moral values, you know, decay of what made this country great. We certainly didn't get here on the strength of trans nuns. So I'm a little beside myself sometimes, you know, and I'm, like I said, I'm not that old. I'm 66 years old. So don't mind telling my age, but you know, I'm not going to regress and look back and say those were the good old days either, because you know, you just really have to think about it in terms of we are given the moment. We're not promised the next. And we have to live in this moment and undertake all of the sometimes craziness that comes, you know, that comes with it. So it does seem that in this day and time, things are a lot, shall we say, less or not as good as, or, you know, but then again, we don't need to necessarily look back so much. So how can we change what we have today? Seriously, how would you go about changing some of this stuff? It's really a very difficult question, especially when you have, for instance, if you want to break it down into, you know, political groups, you know, your group is supposed to be doing the things that you want them to do. And ideally, that would be how, you know, the government would conduct itself. But that's not necessarily the way things happen today. For instance, this vote in the House of Representatives just, you know, what, a couple of days ago, where they let Adam Schiff off the hook. And the guy was obviously the biggest liar ever. He lied continuously for 3 or 4 years about how he had seen evidence and how this was happening and Trump was going down and all this. You know, and then, of course, you know, we can think of the Hillary Clinton dossier bought and paid for by Hillary Clinton's campaign. Total made up lies. You know, there was a time when some of those kinds of things would condemn a campaign, but not today. So, you can't help but kind of look back and compare sometimes, but the real pressing issue here is how do we change all this? I'd like to get your take on it. It's not an easy question. In fact, it's probably one of the most complicated, very difficult questions that we have here in our time. 833-687-4448. Right Side Radio, I'm Jay Holland sitting in for Phil Williams tonight on assignment. I understand he's like down in Mobile or something, you know. So anyway, lucky dude. So I'm stuck here looking at the golf course. Nice view from the second floor studio here. So anyway, I'm certainly honored and privileged to be able to be here and fill in for Phil. Back when I was doing talk shows every day, I had Phil on my program many times. At a period of time, Phil was the chairman of the Etowah County Republican Party. So when he called me to ask me to do this program today, I said, when I saw his name on my phone, and so I answered the phone and I said, hello, Mr. Chairman. I was torn between saying Mr. Chairman or Senator. So, but I reverted back to Mr. Chairman for some reason. Anyway, Phil is a, you guys are really lucky to have Phil because he is a very conscientious guy, very, as you know, a very opinionated guy, but he's always on the right side, which is why he calls this program Right Side Radio, and I kind of like that. But I was never that creative. I always call my program like Today with Jay, or I almost called my program something different one time. Let's see, what was that? I was going to call it. It was a takeoff on some television program that was popular at the time, but. I don't know. I digress. But anyway, I think we have someone on the phone. Let's see. Sparky from Harvest, Dishonesty in Politics. Sparky, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, good. Enjoying the show, riding along in the vehicle with my wife, and enjoying your discussion and monologue. And Boomer has always excellent job.
Boomer and I go way back. He'll never tell you that, but Boomer and I go way, way back. So...
So I've commented many times over the years, there's always dishonesty in politics, in the history of all life in politics, but it took an incredible turn about the time of the presidency of Mr. Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Where the news media all joined forces to say no matter what this guy says or does, he's got top cover. And it was considered ingracious to ever criticize or call the man out for egregious lies. We have to admit,
yes,
egregious lies, because it would be insulting the first African American president. And the Republicans were such cowards and geldings and weaklings. They never oppressed the guy either. So the smug, arrogant character that he was, he looked left and right, and went, I can get away with telling outrageous lies, and nobody ever calls me on it. And the media became the industry that became the propaganda arm for the left wing anyway. And after a while, they got used to, and the American people, and now full generations of kids who are past college now, who were in junior high then, who don't expect honesty or integrity.
That's right.
In either government, politics, or the media. They're absolutely numb to the notion that there should be honesty, or they've lost the whatever the value is in honesty and integrity. And it kind of scares the devil out of me. I'm almost your age. I'm in my 60s myself. it scares me for my granddaughter and her next generation, because I feel like we've lost something we potentially will never get back.
Well, it's very disconcerting for many of us, because we can remember a time when it was completely different. I remember during the Tet Offensive in the Vietnam War, 1968. And you may remember this as well, when we were caught off guard and initially had to kind of regroup. And then when we did regroup, we overwhelmed the enemy pretty quickly. Now, this was over a period of several weeks, but the North Vietnamese lost in the Tet Offensive something on the neighborhood of like 60,000 troops. That was what we lost for the entire war. They lost in a few weeks. But yet, Walter Cronkite, who was, quote, the most respected man in TV, unquote, at the time, you know, got on there and said, because of our American embassy was, you know, utterly destroyed and several other key things happened that he didn't like, he said and made the comment. Now, that's the key word here, because back then, journalism 101 was pretty well practiced. You know, that is who, what, when, where, and you leave the why to the editorial page, you know. So most reporters back then were just giving the who, what, when, where, but not Cronkite. He had to comment about how this was really not going very well and that we should get out of this war. That started something in the media that has led to the evolution that we have seen today. Now, these so-called news programs that I'm watching here in this studio, Phil has one of the TVs set on Fox News, one on CNN. Pretty good contrast there. But still, these news, quote, news, unquote, programs are not real news. They're essentially what they are is a couple of cable channels with some very nice sets, highly paid talent that are forced to read a teleprompter, you know? And these talented people that are delivering this so-called news don't write this news, you know? They're just delivering it. So it's really, you know, a problem here with what we've got in terms of real actual communication. So from that point of view, we have slipped, you know, as far as journalism goes. And, you know, to your point, Sparky, that's really a scary thing too.
Well, we have in a lot of ways as a society. Forget instant gratification, the internet, culturally, kids glued to their quote unquote smartphones. Ironically named smartphones 24/7. But I mean, people have got to be entertained. I've been to a few friends' churches in the last few years, and what I remember is the quiet, solemn, very ancient rituals of the Catholic Mass. And you go to these churches now, and it's entertainment. There's a PowerPoint with dreamy images,
yes.
And there's music. There's a live band, quality singing and playing, but I mean, are we going there to get our faith recharged? Or are we going there to be entertained? The same thing watching cable news. I don't watch television, but watching cable news is entertainment. And when they're pandering to you as their base, you lap it up. You know, you want to be entertained and you want to be validated for your beliefs. So anybody who would watch, I don't know, The View or whatever, they're being entertained, certainly.
And they're being indoctrinated.
Being validated.
Yeah.
Their hatred of Donald Trump is being validated.
Yes.
But it's very entertaining to have somebody up on the screen, never mind the audience is pretty small, but who says the things that they want to hear.
Yeah.
Never mind none of it's true. Hardly any of it's true. But my wife and I, we click around and find every different resource around the world for news just to compare the editorial policies of this one versus that one. And somewhere in there, you can divine the truth. But it's hard work.
Well, Sparky, it's all intertwined, and thank you for your call from Harvest, listening on WVNN AM and FM in Huntsville, and we appreciate you and taking the time to call. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come right back here. I'm Jay Holland, filling in for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. Spanning south of Birmingham to north of Huntsville, from Tuscaloosa to Gadsden, with parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. I don't think I did that quite as good as Phil, but I'm Jay Holland, sitting in for Phil Williams. This is Right Side Radio. And I was just talking to Boomer during the break, and it suddenly occurred to me what the name of that program was. I couldn't think of it a while ago. But it was back in sometime in the 90s, there was a television program that was extremely popular. It was called Grey's Anatomy. And I was thinking that I would call my program Jay's Anatomy, a daily dissection of the news. But I never did that. But it was fun while it lasted, I guess. We had a lot of good programs, and I really enjoyed, and it's kind of like Sparky, you know, I had a series of signature callers is what I called them, and they would call in routinely or regularly, and, it was like Phyllis from Mulga for Feinbaum, you know, and Phyllis passed away, I understand, which I was really sad to hear about. But Feinbaum and I worked together at WERC many years ago, back in the early 2000s. And Feinbaum has gone on to just do wonderful things. We're going to start talking a little sports in the next segment. I want to get from you guys what's going on with the SEC scheduling. I've not read anything. I saw a thing from Kevin Skarbinski where he said Alabama and Auburn have been screwed by the SEC realignment for scheduling. So I'd like to get somebody's take on that, and y'all can kind of fill me in for a change. That might be interesting. So we'll talk a little SEC football when we come back, and several other interesting avenues of discussion that are available to us, and we'll seize them all. So take no prisoners. This is Right Side Radio. I'm Jay Holland, sitting in for the venerable Phil Williams, former state senator, former chairman of the Etowah County Republican Party, but absent with leave today. So, and of course, a former member of the military. I think he was a colonel in the United States Army. So good for him. And we appreciate his service. We appreciate you listening to Right Side Radio. Stay with us through the break, and we'll be right back before you know it. I'm Jay Holland. This is Right Side Radio. Side Radio. Jay Holland here, sitting in for Phil Williams, and we're taking your calls at 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT here on Right Side Radio. And Boomer has a couple of things.
Yeah, we got a couple text messages I wanted to read out. Tony from Piedmont, he goes, uppercase J, good to hear from you again.
Oh,
yesterday,
gosh.
Today, been a long time.
Yeah. That goes back a ways.
Yes, and then another text from Gray Falcon from Ardmore, Alabama. He says, I have a serious question. What does the LGBTQ, whatever, community, what do they want? They have equality under the law.
Well, Gray Falcon, this is not hard. This is simply put, this is rebellion against God and God's law. That's what this is. It's real easy. If you take a man that dresses up like these people dress up, I don't know if you've seen these transgender types that are trying to get, fleece the Dodgers. I mean, they had them on Fox just when we came in to start the show. These people are rebelling against God and His law. That's what this is. And they find value in shock. They find value in repulsiveness. They find value in making you wonder what the heck they think they're doing. This is somebody searching for help. And that's the way I see it. Now, I've known some homosexuals in my life that have all, to a person, been very unhappy. Inside, they find no happiness. They're looking for happiness. They're looking for acceptance. They're looking for everything that they can't get elsewhere. Now, I'm no psychologist or psychiatrist. I'm no shrink. I'm just a guy that's lived life. And every homosexual that I've ever known has been searching for something they can't find somewhere else. They can't find it in church. They can't find it in the Kiwanis Club. They can't find it on the golf course. They can't find it anywhere. So they resort to shocking people. They resort to vulgarity. They resort to concepts that would create doubt about their validity in normal thinking persons. So, and this, there's no race, there's no gender, there's no boundaries here for these people. There's no boundaries, none. If they could get away with killing you, they would. And in fact, they're just doing it slow. They're killing our society. They're killing our values. They're killing everything in their power to kill. And this, simply put, is a spiritual battle. So it's no surprise to me. I mean, I'm not a real smart guy, but I do know that these people need acceptance. They need you to acknowledge them. This is why they continually force this stuff down your throat and think nothing of it. To them, they're just living life. What was it that guy said that took his shirt off in the White House or whatever it was? Said, living my joy. I thought, yeah. That pretty well sums it up. They don't care who they offend. They don't care about you. All they care about is fulfilling their joy. So this is what, and I've done a real poor job of kind of wandering around Gray Falcon, but this is, to me, this is what the problem is. They need you to accept them for who they are, for who they think they are, what they are. And refuse to admit it, is that they are a child of God. And God will forgive them. Jesus Christ died so that they can have life and have it more abundantly. So it's the answer is right there under their nose. They just refuse to grab it. They just refuse to accept it. They refuse to acknowledge it. They think they know better than God. this is the key to why these people act like they do. If you don't have any boundaries, if you don't have any restrictions, if you have no governance whatsoever, this is the lowest common denominator. This is where the human race is going to end up. If somebody doesn't step up and say, no, we're not going there. And not just no, hell no, we're not going there. So, I don't know why we as a society continue to denigrate ourselves. But we do. And somehow it's all couched into tolerance. This is the word that everybody uses. Oh, you've got to tolerate the left. You've got to placate them. You've got to, you know, you've got to spoon feed them. You've got to take care of them. You know what? This is really getting to the point where I am just, well, I guess I would probably be lying if I said I was flabbergasted or, you know, because I'm really not. I've seen it sort of in a little microcosm when I was even in college. I had a professor who was a homosexual. He was not very overt with it. He was kind of conservative and tried to sort of, you know, be one of these kind of guys, a little stealthy, slip in and, you know, be a normal guy. And then all of a sudden, you know, and he pulled it on me one night. I was his neighbor. I lived in the same apartment complex as he lived in. And he asked me to come over and help him move a couch. And me being the good old guy I am, I said, sure, I'll do that. I'll be glad to help you. So I went over to his apartment and, you know, inevitably he made the move. And I told him in no uncertain terms that I was not going to tolerate that. And he started crying. I mean, he literally was a basket case right there in front of me. And this was a highly respected college professor, taught English. And, you know, I had to threaten him, you know, but he started crying. And I don't know. I've had several experiences like that that have led me to believe that they're searching, they're looking, they're hoping, they're really trying hard to find acceptance. And, you know, I ended up witnessing to the guy, you know, and I've done that to several people. But I don't hate them. And, you know, that's the thing that they always accuse you. Oh, you know, the hate has to stop, you know. And so number one, they're automatically assuming that we hate just because we don't find their lifestyle tolerable to, you know, the way we were taught to live. So automatically you're a hater, you know, and there's no negotiation. There's no room. There's no difference. If you object, if you disapprove of someone's lifestyle, you're a hater. And to me, that is a very low form of intellectual rationale. You just can't just haul off and write somebody off just because you disagree with one thing. Now, granted, that's a pretty big thing, but it's still just a disagreement. It doesn't mean that you have all of this deep-seated anti-LGBTQ hate seething under your skin, about ready to blow up in their face or something. No, it doesn't mean that at all. What it means is that they find your acceptance or your indulgence in this particular activity not for them. So that, it, you know, long story short, that's what the LGBTQ community is looking for. They're looking for acceptance. They're looking for you to break your rules to accommodate them. And I refuse to do that. Now, I'll be their friend. I'll work with them. I'll witness to them. I'll take them to church. I'll do whatever I can. I'll help. But I am not going to cross that line and get down in the mud with them. I'm not going to do it. So if they want to hate me for that, that's fine. You know, last time I checked, we still have some freedoms in this country. And as long as we still have those and Joe Biden don't shut them down, then which he's doing fairly quickly, because before too much longer, it's going to be illegal to talk like this on the public airways. So if you don't think I'm right, then you need to reevaluate. This thing is going downhill fast. When you've got a bunch of transgenders assaulting women, you know, competing against women, taking the maternal part of our society and just clubbing them, all in the name of acceptance and, you know, it's just, number one, men should not be competing with women. So, you know, that goes without saying, but you can't tell a transgender that. So, I have seen some vitriolic arguments and protests and stuff like that on the news about some of this stuff. So what's that Gaines woman? She's I can't remember her first name right now for some reason, but she's the only one standing up. And I have really been very impressed with her determination to keep her sport pure. But, you know, the NCAA and all the big sports organizations, they're right in there with the trans slamming women. So, and that's what this is. This is bullying women. This is what we were always taught not to do. You know, you don't hit your sister. You don't push a woman. You don't, you know, you open the door for women. So I don't know where we're going with this society, but it ain't good, folks. And if you hadn't noticed, it's getting worse. So we really do have some issues to resolve, and I don't know where to resolve it. I don't know where it starts, but I do know this. As long as we're able to communicate with each other like we're doing now, on the radio, on the internet, in platforms that allow the free exchange of ideas, I think we're going to be at least in the arena to have a chance. So it may be closing in, but we still have this chance. And as long as I'm alive and as long as I can breathe and as long as I can sit in front of a microphone somewhere, you know, every now and then I'm going to continue to fight the fight. This is Jay Holland sitting in for Phil Williams. This is Right Side Radio. Thanks for joining us. We'll take a quick break and we'll come right back. Right Side Radio. I'm Jay Holland sitting in for the venerable Phil Williams, who's on assignment today down in the port city of Mobile, spanning the south of Birmingham to north of Huntsville, from Tuscaloosa to Gadsden, with parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. This is Right Side Radio. Thanks for joining us here. We have, by the way, the phone line is open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Brian from Huntsville on WVNN. Brian, how you doing, buddy?
I'm mighty fine. I hope you're doing well, sir.
Good, thank you.
But it's not in the Bible, but the term hate the sin but love the sinner has been used for many, many years to reflect why God sent part of himself, Jesus, to save us. He loves us.
No doubt.
He hates the sin. So, I love my savior, my friends, my neighbors, but then again, I've got to remember I've got some problems myself.
Well, that's the key. And, you know, we're all human. We're all imperfect beings. And, you know, we're just not going to get there except through God's grace. And this is the great lesson of the Bible. We can't do it ourselves. The more we try, the worse we fail. And this is the direct result of what we're seeing today. So we...
Which is one of the reasons Jesus went among the Samaritans and the tax collectors and other things. He wasn't trying to condone to them. He was trying to let them know that he forgives them, but they need to, step it up a notch.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not really difficult for people like me and you. We can recognize these kinds of things. It takes courage, though, for someone who's lost to listen and understand that there is something bigger. There is something better that's the promise of God. And it's really a matter of perspective. A lot of it has to do with how you were raised, the conditions with which you were raised, and how, I mean, you know, there's a lot of unseedy, unseemly, very difficult things out there, no doubt about it. All right, Dale from Athens. What's up, buddy?
Man, glad to talk to you today, and thank you for bringing that up about the way we're raised. You know, Voltaire said back in the 14th century, we're creatures of the time in which we live. You know, and we look at all the immorality that's going on right now. We have turned the other cheek for too long, and we've accepted immorality. Immorality in the schools, immorality with methadone clinics, moving murders and crimes to becoming now a mental issue, closing prisons. Looking at acceptance of everything, and it makes you wonder, you know, why is it that we have to do this? Why can we not recognize crimes for what they are, immorality for what it is, and raise our children to recognize those? I was telling a group of friends the other day that it is our job as parents, as Christians, and as fathers, especially Father's Day this month, we must raise our children to respect this country, to respect morals, and to raise them with the capability in a good Christian manner where if they have to step up like the folks did during the invasion of Normandy, I pray God that we're raising them the right way.
Well, it's definitely a challenge. It's every biggest challenge as it is, you know, to storm the beaches of Normandy in a less violent sort of way. But the challenge is the same. You've got to overcome a tremendous obstacle. And that obstacle in this society has become tolerance. We tolerate too much. And there has to be some standards. There has to be, you know, a set of rules. And when you bend and break and destroy the rules, then anything goes and you got, you know, all these trans crazies putting white face on and calling themselves the trans Catholic nuns and all this stuff. It's just totally out of control. But it is an obstacle, and we as Christians have to overcome. I'm Jay Holland. We'll take the break. We'll come right back. This is Right Side Radio.